You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It's not what you thought when you first began it. You got what you want, you can hardly stand it though, but now you know it's not.
Welcome to Axe to Grind Overtime Edition. Deep in the overtime.
We are going to overtime.
Man. Overtime. Yeah, what's the best video game overtime? I got to think about that. I am Bob.
I'm Tom.
And joining us today, we have...
Jay.
And Mike.
From the band Mind Force. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good, man. You know, we're all, I think we're all bored because I looked at my clock midday today and was like, yo, we've been meaning to do this for a while. I hit up Tom and was like, yo, he's the busiest of, I think everyone on this call. And he's like, yeah, I'm down. And then I reached out to Jay and Jay's like, yeah, I'm free. Let's do this. And then we reached out to Mike. Mike, thank you for joining us. There was a little hesitation. Nobody was sure you were going to join us.
No, I'm excited to be on.
Yeah, you're the quiet assassin, you know, so we want to make sure you get well, shine, you know.
Well, so I want to say that at Alex Casey, frequent guest Alex Casey and Nicole Casey's wedding, one of my highlights was diving hard with Mike on Music Chat. So I'm excited to revisit tonight and do a little cutting it up. So really quick, this won't, you know, this isn't super timely, but it's going to come out in a few days. What did you guys eat for dinner, and have you been eating good?
Oh, have I been eating good? My own.
Y'all, you know I asked that for you, Jay. You know, but I'm curious about Mike.
Well, I actually did not have dinner yet. I just reheated some old coffee. And
and that's living dangerously,
8 o'clock
man.
At night, so yeah.
Yo, that's classic Mike.
I'll probably eat sometime later around 11 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. I have a burrito.
No schedule.
I have a burrito at lunchtime, and that was enough. And I've been on this heavy kick, and it's hard. You got a six-year-old in the house. It's easy to get into this. But he's like, I'm like, what do you want to eat? And he's like, peanut butter and jelly. I'm like, me too. Let's do that. And
classic.
And then I saw this thing about NBA players eating peanut butter and jelly like it's going out of style. I'm like, these are world-class athletes. I'm in good company. We can just do this all the time.
Do you know how good their peanut butter and jelly must be, though?
Great.
Like $75 a jar.
Which ain't nothing to them. So... Yeah. So, Mind Force, we're talking today, just doing this and that, but we're really excited about the new record. And that's, we don't normally do promo stuff, but we kind of like, both me and Tom have been hyping on this one for a minute. So we wanted to get on with you dudes and talk about the new record a little bit. Is that cool?
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I walk with the whole house, busting in the left round. Tom, I'm going to kick it off, but I want you to take lead as we go through.
Sure.
My first question, was there a point when you were unsure if there was going to be another Mind Force record?
Oh, yeah. Right, Mike?
Definitely. We weren't sure for a while.
We didn't know what
there was a point where we weren't sure if we could play a show again. So, you know.
Even Mike, if you remember, even when we decided we were going to play again, we were like, yeah, but we're not making any more records.
Right, right.
What flipped the switch?
I don't know. I think Mike just bringing these crazy riffs to band practice.
Once we started playing together again and having somewhat consistent practices, you know, the ideas started flowing.
When it comes down to it, I think about a band's trajectory, and I put a lot of weird thought when I hear records. A lot of times to me, a record can sound like, okay, this is a band like not closing up shop, but like you can sort of tell when someone's done with their meal, they start like straighten up the utensils go down, et cetera. Mm. And you know, outside of the accident, there was no point with Mind Force with Excalibur. That's not a let's put the utensils down record. So I was particularly excited that more was coming, and this record I think hits. So
you know what that was? That record was when they bring the truck down the street to sharpen the knives.
Oh, sharpen the knives.
I don't know if that was a New York thing. Like there'd be a guy that came down the street.
Yeah.
You bring out all like your steak knives and stuff, and he does a nice little thing for you. That's what Excalibur is.
So first thing, let's talk music on this one. How was this different than Excalibur? You know, this is an EP. Excalibur was a full length. What was the writing process? How was it different on this compared to the last record?
Well, I think me and Mike both talked about changing it up, sprinkling in a little something new. Mike talked about wanting to do something like that, right, Mike?
Yeah, yeah. I think anytime we do something, a new release, we want to add a little something new to the mix.
But at the same time, we didn't want people to be like, oh, who's this? We want it to feel familiar.
Now, like going back, like what Bob was asking before. Mm-hmm. So like the kind of the uncertainty about doing like a new record. Where was that from? Is that something from like, is it almost like, all right, so we did this record. This record really fucking killed. Was it like that being almost like scary to try to match or overcome?
Yeah, I mean, definitely felt pressure because seemed like the people that dug Excalibur really liked it. But I think more the not knowing what's going to happen next with the band and writing records is just more from our lives. You know what I mean? What we got going on with our lives, you know, I'd be lying if I said I thought we were going to write another one after this. I don't know. Like, people ask a lot what's going on with the future of the band. And, I mean, you know, we don't really know, right, Mike?
No, we don't.
I promise not to put you guys on the spot today with any of that, because I do. I think it's kind of cool how you just lit things. How do you do it? How do you keep it kind of organic like this? Because I think there's people who struggle with this, like how to do a band and kind of take it as it comes.
Well, I think, yeah, it is. I think part of it is our age and what we've been through already in other bands.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I really don't know. I think another big part of it is our friendship we had before the band started. And just, you know, I mean, we're like family. I mean, you know, Nick and Mike's kids are like, you know, they're like my little nieces and nephews, you know what I mean? So I don't know. We just, I think you got to really love each other and, you know, understand each other's situations. But our band is a day-to-day thing. You know, we don't really know what's going on from one month to the next.
Mike, do you tend to agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you think that, like, I mean, and Tom, This is a good one.
Yes, sir.
With Mindforce, even before I got to know you guys,
mm-hmm.
I always got the sense, and Tom, you probably can back me up on this or expand, that there was a tightness between you guys as a unit, just as friends, as people, and that I think that clicked when I would watch you play. Like, the first time I saw you guys play, I was like, oh, these are dudes who know each other very well and can go out and really do this because they're like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys struck me as, like, you didn't strike me necessarily as a band, but more like a bunch of friends playing music. As corny as that sounds, I think there's a lot to be said for that.
No, Tom, I think you guys are right, and we have to actively fight to... I don't know if this is going to sound weird, but you kind of got to keep yourself in check to remember that, you know, that, wait, this is just friends playing music and nothing else. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, just recently we had a conversation where, like, we're like, oh man, we got to make merch, and it felt a little stressful and all this stuff. And we kind of backed off and we're just like, you know what? It's whatever. We're not going to do it. We'll do it when we get to it. You know, I don't know. I don't really know.
I think that makes sense because it's easy to lose sight of, like, what the real purpose, you know what I mean?
Like, we have never been a full-time band. We're only a part-time band. We have a lot of other responsibilities and shit that we take care of first and stuff we just want to do first, you know, like be with our families and shit.
Yeah, and we make sure the band stays fun, you know, at any point.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it could be a slippery slope sometimes, and it can kind of, all of a sudden it becomes a job, and that's when you kind of lose where it all started, you know?
Yeah, man, I mean, there's times when being in a band is really a lot of work and not fun at all. I mean, Mike's got stories of playing shows for like two people and then going to sleep in a gas station bathroom and shit like that.
So okay, we're gonna need to hear that story, Mike.
Yeah. It's just okay. Yeah. Sorry, true story. Yeah, me and friends were touring in the '90s, late '90s, I guess, and broke down and had nowhere to go, had no money to fix the van, and were sleeping in the gas station bathroom, and we took turns sleeping in there.
Oh, that sounds so painful.
Yeah.
Like it hurts my, I'm like uncomfortable sitting in the chair right now. I mean, I think that focus, like you said, keeping things fun, putting the register of priorities, like, do you think let's do something. Let's do a weird experiment. Mm-hmm. You guys just got, you hit Zoltar, the whole band hit Zoltar like in big. Shit. And instead of, but I fucked up the movie, but it's going to Benjamin Buttons you. You're going to get younger.
Okay.
You're younger. No kids, no family. And there's not some like longing or mourning for it. It's just like, it's just a nothing, you know, which is hard to imagine, but like whatever.
Right.
And you're all 22 or 23 years old. Well, do you think that would change the way you are handling the band? And do you think that would be better or worse?
Oh yeah. It would be worse. We would suck.
Yeah, I'd be a nightmare to deal with for sure if that was the situation. Everything else I have going on in my life, I think, makes me easier to deal with in a band. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, it makes a lot of sense.
I was kind of a crazy band guy, you know, for a long time. So I think I'm a little bit easier to deal with now.
I think when you got a band when you're young, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's like you're just so like once you start it, you're like, I need to make this work. I need to make it work. Even when all the wheels are falling off, you're like still holding on to the steering wheel. Like, I need to make this work, even though the whole shit's coming apart. And now it's now being older, it's like, oh, no, it doesn't need to work. I'm getting the hell out of this vehicle. It's falling apart. I'm just going to make a new one to drive. So, I don't know.
I think that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Let me ask to go in the rewind machine, because I don't think I've ever heard you guys talk about it, and we didn't even really talk about it when you were on before, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys give us the, you know, brief history of space, but like, let's make it the brief history of Mind Force, like where it came out of, what you guys were doing right before, and how it kind of coalesced into Mind Force, like how the whole thing started.
Yeah, well, we were doing Living Laser before this, a band me and Mike were in before this. We had the same drummer. That band also had other drummers, but we had the same drummer that we ended with. And our bass player had left. And we wanted to keep doing the band, but we wanted to do something less punk and more crossover. Would you agree, Mike? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the stuff we were writing with Living Laser was kind of heading that direction. And we felt, you know, it would be more fun to kind of start fresh with something else.
We took a little bit more time with, like, Living Laser was just, like, I don't even know how we got on a show. Like, even the name, everything, we didn't really take seriously. We took a little bit more time with the name. I think the name, and, Mike, maybe I'm wrong, but isn't Mind Force, didn't I come with that as a play off the original Bad Brains name, Mind Power? Or am I wrong? Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
That's how we got the idea for the name, because... I think, Bob, maybe I'm wrong. You know the history better than me, but weren't the Bad Brains first called Mind Power? I read
they were. No, yep. That's true. Yeah. That's 100% true. That's a cool parallel. I wouldn't have made that. Mind Force is a cool name, though. Like, it's a weird thing to say, but I've had this conversation with a lot of people, mm-hmm. and a band name can kind of, one, it sets the tone for what people think of you from the start. Two, it can kind of set the tone for what you think of the band too. You know what I mean? Inside of it. And that's not to say that's a hard, fast rule. You know, like whenever I give that example or think about, man, I don't like bands with silly names. I almost am in my head like, well, actually, what about Gorilla Biscuits? I'm like, ah, fuck me, man. Right.
I think you're right though. I think that's real, man. Talk about Benjamin Button going younger. I wish I realized that when I was younger, so I wasn't coming up with all these stupid names.
Right. And like, yep,
same here.
Right. And, you know, in the moment, it's like, you know, we accuse ourselves quite often on this podcast of taking shit too serious, because we do. But it also is one of those things where it's like, okay, if you take it serious and present it in such a way and want people to take you serious, you take it serious in the steps that you're doing. Like you were saying about Living Laser, even in hearing the way you talk about it. I remember that the Living Laser demo and this, you guys did a demo in a 7-inch. Is that right?
Yeah. And a full length.
And a full length. Right. Yeah. So I remember hearing some of that and being like, oh, this is pretty good. But I never really like dove hard into it. But even hearing the way you're talking about it, it's you're not even giving it the same kind of like level that you are Mind Force. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, Mind Force definitely started off with a more concrete vision, like, you know, than Living Laser. Living Laser was my first time singing in a band. I think when I started singing in that band, I didn't even think we'd ever play a show even.
Right. It was definitely almost a project at the beginning.
Tom, you want to jump on there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I wanted to make sure that's it. Yeah. Do you kind of look at things like Living Laser is obviously a really good band. Do you ever catch feelings sometimes? You're like, yeah, where the fuck were all you assholes 5 years ago?
I really don't.
Way for you.
Yeah, I mean, we were cool, but I don't. For some reason, I don't think that. I don't know why. No. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that at all.
You guys are better people than me because I.
I think Mind Force, you know, just might be a little better of a band, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, I mean, it definitely is.
Yeah, and like Jay said, it's more focused of a sound, so that's always easier for people to latch onto.
Sure. That makes sense. So do you want to go into like your earlier bands? Or you just did you not exist before Living Laser? Because that's cool. Because I know that feeling. I know what it's like. No, there's no nothing record. Nothing existed before 1997. I feel you, but because I know some of the history, but I think people would probably find it interesting. But if you don't want to, that's cool too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I, I mean, me and Mike, we were in two bands that would play together all the time before Living Laser. I played drums in this band, Robots and Empire. We kind of...
You were in that too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I played drums in that, and we kind of were like, I don't know, man. We wanted to be into another in Black Sabbath, but didn't really work out too good. And
nice aims, though, to be honest. Yeah, that's lofty.
Yeah, but you know, those are the type of, but you just, that target is too high. You feel me, Bob? You know what I mean? You
can't I really do. I know.
You can't shoot for it. But, and Mike was in this band, Mike, tell him.
I was in a band called Casket Architects before that. And that's how me and Jay actually met. Our bands were playing the same shows. And, we met around 2004.
Yeah, probably.
So we were kind of both in our weirdo band phase at that point, and
right.
We connected.
I think Bob would be psyched to hear that you were Mike was a Youth Attack guy.
Oh yeah,
I did. Well, yeah, I like the sound, but I do agree a lot of those bands didn't hold up. Just a few of them, but yeah.
Yo, there's a good mix, and it's
I don't know what that is.
I'm with you.
Youth Attack.
Yeah. It's like a label from the 90s and the early 2000s. Like, they still go now, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just really fast bands.
Fast, and some of it was really interesting. And what I think ends up happening, unfortunately, is that the more it's like anything, you know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to hear this and take it the wrong way. But the bands who are focused more on an image than the energy around it than the music, or just having fun and doing it for the right reason. Like, there's plenty of bands I don't like who I can tell, like, yo, that's good. But, like, if you dismiss it, and I think it's easy to dismiss that stuff. I think a lot of that stuff can be really good. But it's also...
Word.
Some people get caught on it and get really into it because they like the idea of it more than actually what it is. You know, right. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Yeah.
So, all right. So the long winding road to Mindforce starts around there and keeps going. At what point from those bands, those are kind of like very different sounds. When did you guys connect and be like, yo, you like New York hardcore a lot? Me too. Like,
oh, well, I mean, we always talked about New York hardcore. New York hardcore was always there no matter what we were doing. But Mike had told me he wanted to start a band like the bands he listened to in high school. And he had sent me some of the music, and it was Living Laser. And I was like, oh, man, I wish I, you know, was a singer because I know what this needs. You know, and he kind of was like, no, I think he pushed me to try it, and I tried it, and it was mad fun. It was real fun.
Was that the first band you sang in?
Yeah, that was the first time I ever sang in a band. I don't think I sang at all. Actually, I think the first band I ever started when I was 16 that only had two practices, I tried singing in maybe. And that was with Nick, actually, who plays bass in Mindforce.
Wow.
But, Living Laser was my first singing show.
The first thing that counts. Yeah. Here's my question. The first time you got on stage is Mindforce. Like, one of the things that's always impressed me is that the way you guys carry yourselves on stage and your live presence. And I don't know if it was this from the day one, but, like, you just have an energy that goes. Was that important to you when you guys started this band?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of just happens naturally too, to the music.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sounds right. I mean, to me, it's tough. I think, and Tom, you can say this. This is a good question for all you guys. When you're obviously getting some pretty nutty reactions now. Like, I've seen some shows where it's just like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Nuts.
How does that feel now? Like, has the journey to this been like, damn, it was all worth it?
I mean, listen, I can get real cheese ball with this shit because it really has been worth it. I mean, this has been like, you know, I kind of see Mindforce as almost like a 20-year journey, to be honest with you, man. And also, like, even since we started MindForce, all the pain, you know, the injuries, everything that Mike went through with his accident, I mean, it was a turning point in his life, you know. I had a major back injury a year before Mike's injury that flipped my shit around, and we just pushed through it all and never stopped, you know, through all the sacrifices with our families, trying to find babysitters, and it really yeah, has been worth it, man. It really has been worth it. I don't think people really realize, and this isn't saying like, yeah, man, I fucking live on the side of the road and shit, but I don't think people realize the sacrifices that go into keeping a hardcore band going, you know?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they, I mean, so here's the deal, right? Like, we end up talking about certain things in a way that, that strikes people funny, but like, I don't know how you could ever make MindForce be something that pays your bills. Straight up, you'd have to get on some crazy shit at this point in your lives to make it pay bills.
Yo, so I'm looking too good for MindForce right now.
Right. So
I like the finer things, Bob.
I know you do. I see. And see where he eats, how he eats. Ooh, it looks so good. But here's the thing. What that means is that you have to pick and choose how you do the band and where you do with the band and when you do the band.
Yeah.
And I've actually gotten to experience that talking to you guys, seeing you the way you think it out. And like, like, I honestly think it's a funnier thing. Like, this conversation would be more interesting if we probably just read from your group chats, your band group chat. You know what I mean? Like, trying to figure this stuff out. Like you said, finding babysitters, figuring out what can work. How do we do this weekend? We're all going to do this. Are we going to, like, I know.
Yo, Nick will like drive to Virginia to play United Blood on his kid's birthday and then make it back for the birthday party and not sleep for like 48 hours.
Right, because like, that's
crazy shit.
Yeah, that
shit that like you wouldn't believe we do just because we love playing mosh parts.
Well, right. And so I was going to ask the why of it. Like, why is this such a vital thing for you still now, given everything else that goes on in your lives? Like y'all got families, and anybody who's got family, and I don't care, I'm not talking about parents. I'm not, you know, I can be, but people who got families, everybody knows, like, that's a different type of thing. So that takes priority. But the way it reads, it feels like MindForce brings a joy in your lives that's sort of unlike anything else.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because me and Mike text about this, what you're asking us, and like, I think I need it more than ever. I hear you guys talk a lot about age on other episodes, you know, like, oh, well, this, man, did I need hardcore or did hardcore hit me as much as when I was younger or when I was older? And I think there's a lot to that. But ironically, I think I need hardcore in my life just as much, if not more, than when I was 16. It really is the wind in my sails through my whole work week. Would you agree, Mike?
Yeah, I'm on the same page. And it feels weird to not have a show booked.
Yeah, it sucks.
If it goes too long, it just starts to feel weird to not have that to look forward to.
You guys will be dying now.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit sucks, man. I was going to be in Italy in May.
Yo, so so I wanted to ask, and Mike, we can. I'm looking at the clock.
Yeah.
So if I need to cut this, we can, but I don't want to get too into the details of your injury. It was very serious.
Yeah.
I think people saw that.
Yeah.
But at that point, you guys weren't sure. You weren't sure if you were going to be able to do the band. Cause what I understood was like, yo, if Mike can't do the band, we're not doing MindForce. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. What was that period of life like for you? Because, I mean, I know privately you've talked to me about it a little bit, but what would you share? Because it seems like coming out of that, being able to do stuff with the band was a motivating factor.
It was, yeah. And when that all happened, there was so much support for me from the band and from people that knew the band that it, you know, that really kept me going through that whole period. And, you know, just within, you know, within a few months, you know, I started getting that feeling that I needed to play again, even if I couldn't at that time walk. I just needed to make it happen. So once we got through that, and I talked to Jay, and we discussed trying to do some shows at some point, that was really a great focus point for me and was a huge motivation to just kind of push myself to get back on my feet and get through the recovery.
Let's talk about the first show back.
Right. Yeah. So that brings Brooklyn? Us to, no, Sound and Fury.
Oh shit. Okay.
Which is kind like
ridiculous.
Yeah. You couldn't have asked for a better show back.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about that. Cause it almost doesn't feel like it was that long ago. Jesus.
That show was insane, man. That was crazy.
First show in California ever. Is that right? Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And so the response, I just remember how crazy everybody went. It was like the room was on fire.
Yeah. It was pretty intense. especially coming from a point where I was not sure if I'd be able to play a show again, and then to show up, fast forward to that point.
I mean, in the practice,
it was incredible.
In the practice before we did Sound and Fury, Mike like had to like sit down in between songs. We weren't even sure if this dude was going to be standing up, going to make it through. And after everything, I mean, we had such an emotional winter, you know. I mean, crying with Mike in the hospital and just everything we've been through, and Mike at the center of it all. Mike having to have it all on his shoulders. I can remember when we started playing, looking at him and having a moment like, yeah, motherfucker. this is what it was for, you know, kind of shit. It was cool.
So
talk about going like 0 to 100 though.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't even like, we're gonna do like a 50-person, like get some folks at the rehearsal studio and see, you know, feel it out. You're like, oh cool, we're in front of like 2,000 people across the country from our house.
And then the second shit we did, I think, was the Axe to Grind set, right, Mike, or no?
Before Brooklyn.
Did we do that before Brooklyn?
I think we did Brooklyn, and then.
Oh, okay.
It might have been right after that, actually. Yeah, I think it was right after Brooklyn.
They were pretty.
We talked about it because we talked about how much you enjoyed California, Jay.
Oh my God, it's the best place! I was just telling my daughter, I was watching the movie Heat.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite movies, but now when I watch it, I can feel the crisp California air through the screen.
I love that.
It's just so, I miss it so much, man. And I just, there's lots of stores out there I like very much.
Yeah, they sell a lot of stuff out there that it's got its own thing going.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
So with this, you know, all right, you know, we're in the middle of all this shit, the COVID-19 pandemic, all this. But you guys recorded, what, back in January, I think it was?
I think so. Mike went.
Late January.
Yeah. And we got the record coming. And so give me the title. Tell me a little bit about it. Jay, tell me about some of the themes you got going on.
Okay, yeah. It's called Swinging Swords, Chopping Lords, which actually is a line that I didn't use for the song Excalibur. I don't remember why I took it out. Maybe I thought I was singing too much in it or something. But I always wanted to use it, so I used it for this.
Awesome.
I mean, you know, I'll be honest, the themes are a little darker than normal for me. The first theme is about, like, kind of like being a veteran of war, but still having to fight every battle and knowing that and knowing like it's going to suck.
Yeah.
That's cool. Kind of the line, the full line for the title track is, I feel like I've been living some forever war. I've been swinging swords, chopping lords. So it's kind of about like, you know, being worn down. The second song, because there's only 4 songs. I don't know if people know that yet. Sorry, but I'll never write in a full length again.
Yo, never say never. I'm just saying,
put out an EP like this every year, or we'll be good. We're good.
The second song, I wrote about something I actually haven't written about before, the death of my brother, Justin. My brother passed away when I was young, and, you know, it kind of made me an angry person in a sort of weird way, and I didn't realize that till I was older. And I had never written about it before, so I did on that, so that was weird.
Real quick on that.
Yeah.
Has the experience with Mindforce, as you keep going along, getting deeper and deeper in the journey, has it allowed you to feel more comfortable with that kind of thing, where you're more willing to write about things that maybe you wouldn't have felt that way, felt good about putting it out there like that before?
Yeah, I think so. I think yes and no. There's still some, even when I was, because I have been wanting to write about that for a while, but actually, you know what made me approach that subject, Bob?
What's that?
You guys familiar with the Eyes of the Lord record that came out last
year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that record, I think, is an incredible record. It blew me away, especially lyrically.
Right.
Yes.
And one of the things that it kind of influenced me lyrically, not necessarily the themes, but I just felt like I was so blown away by how honest that guy was and how he was writing about stuff like you want to talk to someone you're close to about. So I kind of was like, man, this guy, I gotta get better. I gotta be more transparent. So I was like, I'm gonna write about this shit that I never talk about, you know, I never really whatever. So yeah.
I think that's such a cool and important thing. I'm glad you said that. That Eyes of the Lord record, I mean, I think the band's done now, or at least done in some way.
Right.
But that record, it's one of the things we've been really like focused in on for at least the last 8 to 10 months, is this idea that things shouldn't be disposable in this world like the way they feel they are. That Eyes of the Lord record isn't just some thing that came and went. That was this expression by a dude like that record's got a lot going on.
Dude, it's
you know, it's, and he,
it's crazy.
He's hitting it really honest in a way that I don't think people catch. And it's the concept we talked about on an episode like a couple weeks ago, where I hope, and you know, as you get older, it's not always easy to do this, but I hope that you get the chance to sit back and absorb some of that shit and lyrical content. Though that stuff really matters. And when you do it, you feel it so much more than when it just becomes. And I said it quite honestly. Sometimes I'll hear music and I can't tell you what the words are because I'm listening, but I'm not hearing it. And that's not the way you should listen to hardcore. You know, that's not the way you should really listen to it.
Right.
So I'm glad. And it's cool to hear that, like that peers can influence, you know, that a record that just came back last year can have that kind of impact.
Oh yeah. I mean, as far as lyrically, I don't think I've heard records I love, but lyric wise, that was the first record I heard in a long time that, I mean, it kind of like commanded you to open up the lyric sheet, in my opinion.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everyone. This is Tuck from Fit for a King, an off-road minivan. Every week, I bring you fun interviews alongside your favorite metalcore entertainers with my new podcast, Get Tucked. Join me every Monday with bands like Counterparts, Crystal Lake, like Moths to Flames, and many more. We play unsigned and undiscovered bands, deep dive into each artist's history, and of course provide the greatest breakdowns in current metalcore. Tune in to Get Tucked every Monday, out now through Sound Talent Media.
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist, Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
So this one's for both of you guys, and, you know, Tom, this is... Tom, I want to ask you this.
Yes.
In Indecision and Most Precious Blood, on the episode where we talked about the band, there was... It was noted that there was a kind of a dictator in the band. Is that right?
Yeah, Justin Brennan was a bit of a dictator.
Did you or did other members of the band ever exert kind of quality control, or did you ever work together and go, hey, man, this part ain't working? Or did he kind of come in? Like, it seems like, and I mean, to his credit, it seems like everything worked out well in the end, but... Was there that kind of like that teamwork to kind of tighten things up here and there?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I would say I was his main editor.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody in the band had a part of it, but like I was the dude that was like most into like hardcore. Well, then and now.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we're writing something, I could be like, yeah, nobody's gonna give a shit about that part, or like that goes on way too long, or you know, stuff like that. We had one song in our entire. And the entirety of both bands that came in like fully, like, here's how it should go, and here's the lyrics, and here's nothing. That's the only, we only did that once. Everything else was kind of, you know, just fucking around and me kind of reining them in and sort of making it make sense.
Well, and that brings me to you dudes, because I had conversations with both of you, but when you said, yeah, right, when you said the Jay about like, that line being kind of cut from the song Excalibur, by the way, I love the way that that flows into the next record. It like makes this weird connection. Good job. But you guys work together on the music and talk about like, does this part work? Does this work? And I thought that was cool. Can you tell me a little bit about that relationship you guys have?
Yeah, Mike, you want
to? Yeah. So normally me and Jay will kind of discuss directions or where we were kind of excited to go with the band. If we're writing new songs, we might write a few songs to kind of get to that point where we find something we're excited about to expand on. And I can tell if I come up with something that Jay's excited about, and you know, and then we kind of start working from there. So I know when we did the song Excalibur and the LP came out, that if we did anything else after that, I wanted to kind of expand on that sound, moving into the next, you know, into the newer songs. And, yeah, I mean, as far as the writing process, you know, I think Jay has as much influence over the songs as I do. And, I think we work, you know, pretty well together.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, as an outsider, I'd say for sure.
Yeah. Is it true that Jay is the mosh dictator? That's what I heard.
You're like absolutely
the classic guitar guy, and Jay's like, yeah, we need this part too, for everyone to beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, I might have to try a few times before I get a part, you know, that's going to work for Jay.
And if it was up to me, every song would be just mosh parts, man.
Right. Yeah.
Well, so with that said, what is it like when you said you can tell when Jay likes a part? What is that like? Does he start like bouncing around? What is it?
I think it's just a look in his face, look in his eyes when I play a certain riff, and
like he's gonna mosh it to Nick. Like what's?
Sometimes, yeah, maybe. But it's just an excitement that comes off of him. You know, I've been playing with him long enough now where I can kind of read, you know, if I'm playing something and he's not into it, I just like, all right, I'm just going to take this back home and maybe we'll work with it again later. But, you know, and that's fine. I have no problem trying different things out and also editing parts. Like Tom was saying, Jay is really good with that. Jay keeps me grounded as far as writing and editing and not having too many parts per song and, you know. Because guitar players can get a little crazy sometimes.
So with this said, you also said you were exploring the sound on Excalibur. How does it grow? Let's do the preview. We're going to treat this mm-hmm. like people are hearing it. Like yep. what should they be listening for, and how is it different than what you were doing on Excalibur? I have some opinions, but I want to hear it from you guys first.
Mm. Okay. You want me to go first, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, well, as far as the songs go, I would say I reached more into heavy metal influences to kind of pull from, maybe even more than crossover or thrash influences.
For sure.
And more mid-tempo type songs.
I think it might be the third song on the record.
Mm-hmm.
It gets chunky and it has just these great kind of like riffing parts, but then it's almost got this sneak mosh part that just comes in, and it's one of those terrorizer, like not the band Terrorizer, but the yeah. feeling terrorizing, like shark swimming mosh parts. I'm like, oh, I'm like a sucker for it. So yeah. And when I was listening to it, I was like, okay, see, this to me is this cool extension and expansion of the sound. And it's what I always want from bands. And like, it's hard to say that with people, but I'm comfortable with you guys. But like, what you did was take the sound and said, cool, cool, we like what we did, but we're not going to sit on that and just try to like Xerox it. We're going to twist it up and give you something a little bit different, but with the same kind of energy. And I think it really hit. And so I'm really excited for people to be able to hear this.
Awesome.
Yeah. Sick,
man. Yeah. I mean, I think I punished Mike and Jay about this record for month now. So I apologize. Nah. Now I'm glad that everyone else will be able to punish you after you had to hear me for fucking 3 months. I was telling Mike, I heard a lot like kind of like Randy Rhoads, a lot of like Ozzy in some yeah. of the playing and stuff like that, which I think, you know, for hardcore and stuff, it's like such, you know, leeway didn't even go that far afield from like what they were doing. And I think people will be fucking super psyched on it because it's like everything you wanted from Mind Force and more. You know what I mean? Like, awesome. No one's gonna hear this and be like, oh man, like they tried too much. Like, I feel like it's the perfect next step. And I think everyone will fucking love it.
No, that's like, sick.
The mosh parts are moshier. The fucking, the vocals and the lyrics are just as catchy, if not catchier. It's just like, I'm super stoked on,
no, that's sick.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've told you all this personally too, but I think I'm stoked that this came out, and I'm stoked that you guys were able to kind of push on and get this record out, because I think it's super important, and I think people will be incredibly excited, and I can't wait to see these songs played live.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, I can't wait to play. Thank you, Tom. I should throw out there too that we worked with two new people on this. Arthur Rizek mixed and mastered it. He did a right. great job. And Chris from Akulu did the art for this. He's done art for us before, but never a release. So we're pretty psyched about our friend awesome. Doing that. Yeah.
Yes. So we got the Eyes of the Lord on the lyrical thing. I want to ask you both this. I'm going to start with you, Jay, with if you could give two or three other lyrical influences on this specific record. But also for you, Mike, after mm-hmm. Jay does that, give us a few, however many you like, musical influences on the record directly and indirectly, things that you go, you know what, if you like what we've been doing on Excalibur, or you like some of the metal influences on this, you should check these records out. So Jay, kick us off with some lyrical influences.
All right. I'm really influenced by hip hop and rappers. I know that might sound weird because I don't rap, but in my delivery and some of my word choices, I was really influenced by this yeah. dude, Rock Marciano, during this release. And, this is crazy sounding, but I was really influenced by Bob Dylan during this release. I've recently been listening to a lot more Bob Dylan. Maybe it comes with getting older, I don't know. But
a lot of walking around in the woods, I guess.
Yeah, hell yeah. And kind of like the way he's reflected on what he's done in life and looks forward kind of influenced me.
I love that. Mm. All right, Mike, what do you got?
As far as, you know, guitar riff influences on this, Definitely, Ozzy is an obvious one. Judas Priest, Merciful Fate, King Diamond, and probably as far as like the moshier parts go, you're gonna still get a lot of like New York influences from the '90s in there, whether it's Marauder or 108. But an album that people might not realize is the later Celtic Frost stuff. An album called Vanity Nemesis.
Hell yeah.
The album I got a lot of good ideas crazy. For those harder parts from.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. That's such a good deep pull. Fuck.
Yeah.
Well, people don't realize how much Celtic Frost influenced New York hardcore, man.
Right. Yeah. Right. Don't be scared of the album cover. Just check it out.
All right. So you guys are real on the level about music in general, et cetera. I want your biggest musical disagreements. What is something one of you loves and the other one doesn't, can't stand? Give it to me.
Oh, Diplomats? One time, I would make, like, when we would pull up to a show in Living Laser, I'd be like, hold up, Mike, we got to have a good entrance. I'd make them turn down, roll down the windows and put on Dipset.
That, yeah.
We hated it.
Oh wow!
I don't know what else, Mike. We got a few. What else?
Like what goes on in the van and people go, motherfucker.
Oh well, I don't like a lot of the. What was the band with the drills? We argued whether it was.
Oh okay. Yeah, Easter Zende Neubauten, like any kind of 80s industrial. Yeah, Jay can't handle that stuff.
And like Mike, like. Like, I've been just, you know, I've been listening to a lot of early Mariah Carey this week.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not really Mike's vibe.
Right, but if you think back to those, you know, early years in our life, those vibes where I grew up on a lot of the 80s metal and even, like, shitty hair metal of the late 80s, and Jay was, you know, you were telling me, you're more R&B, rap, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
I mean, I didn't. Hardcore was the first where heavy we're at music. Now.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like, it's like Drop Dead Gorgeous to see it, because those two things can merge and interplay without it having a conflict. But there's no reason, like, there's no reason you have to adopt one to be next to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, so. Tom, you got anything? I got a few more polls, but I want to open the floor.
All right, so you're the first show back after all this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you open with Excalibur? Do you open with a new song?
Oh, good question.
Oh, wow.
That's Mike. I don't know. I usually look to Mike for that stuff.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah, we might decide. You know, when we walk up there and turn our amps on, you know,
like you did at the Gorilla Biscuit show when you guys decided to do a Cro-Mags intro about 2 minutes before you got up there.
That's sometimes
that was just actually amazing.
That was fun. I missed that.
Rachel turns to me. She goes, "This sounds a lot like Cro-Mags." I'm like, "Cause it is."
That's a hard question to answer. Now we're gonna have to feel it out when we get there.
So we talked about this briefly on an older episode of Axe to Grind. Y'all were supposed to go play Italy. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
Heartbroken. Can't go. I know I got some friends in Europe I had friends in Europe who were excited you were going, but were disappointed you were just going to Italy. Because they're right. I want to go see them. I can't go see them there. You know, if they played London, I can go. If they play Belgium, I can go, you know? But Italy was going to be tough. Will you make it to Europe? Period.
Oh yeah. Right, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we did have some plans, but everything, you know, fell through right now. But,
We were working on going back to Europe shortly after Italy with Regulate, but I don't, you know, it's not happening now, I don't think.
No, I know. All right, so give me, let's start wrapping it up. Give me a few things musically y'all are excited for or stuff that's coming, because I think this is one of the things in time right now. We need things to look forward to, be it music, be it books, be it movies, be it TV. So give me, I was going to say music, but let's do all of it. What are some stuff you're looking forward to or stuff you're excited about right now?
You want to go first, Mike?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great bands going on in hardcore right now. It's an exciting time to be in part of it.
For sure.
As far as what's coming, I'm hoping maybe something new from Method of Doubt. I'd be excited to hear that.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
True
Form. Big fan. Yep, good band.
Yeah, a lot of Florida bands right now. I like that The Boss demo from Streets of Hate that just came out. And then, Never Ending Game, Akulu, Straining Order. You know, excited to see what all these bands do.
For real. I'm excited about it. That's all yeah. Top of my list, too. Jay, anything you got popping that you're excited about?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Akulu full-length. I can't wait to hear what it sounds like. I'm so curious.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's the one that has me thinking. Like,
yeah, man, exactly.
I'm just curious, like, how long is it going to be? What are they going to do with the sound? Are there going to be, like, what they have out there right now is so good, but it's not a lot. And it's just like, they have a big open canvas, and I can't wait to see what they do with it.
Yeah, knowing those dudes and knowing what they're into, I mean, they could go down a few different lanes, so it'll be interesting.
100%. All right, Jay, give us a few hip-hop and rap current stuff recommendations.
Okay, I'm very happy to see the hardcore world has been really coming around to Griselda Records. If you don't know Griselda Records, West Side Gun, Conway, Benny the Butcher, you need to be listening to that. It's the best. One of the best groups ever, even along with the Golden Age stuff. But if you hear that and you like it, dig into more underground hip hop, because there's a whole world, you know, like, let's say you weren't into hardcore and you heard Turnstile, but then didn't look up any other bands.
Right.
There's a whole scene that's booming right now with amazing artists, great music.
Yo, thank you for that.
Here's a thought. Jay, do you do Spotify?
Yeah, I do, but I my daughter thinks this is hilarious. I'm not a premium member still.
Do you want? Can you make? How about this?
Yeah, he can give us a list.
To make playlists that go along with like episodes and stuff. Do you want to make us a hip hop one? Even if you just send me the names, I'll put it together.
Yo, I would love to.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the Instagram. Yeah, we'll put that up on the Instagram thing. Help expose some shit.
Jay, I have a question.
Yeah.
How many bands have you started since we started this interview?
A few, man. A few.
You've done three since we just started this an hour ago.
Me and Lumpy did like 50. Well, Mike's got some shit going on too, actually.
Yeah, shout out your mistress bands. Let's go.
Well, I got Out for Justice with all my friends from New York. I have another band called Dominion 18 with some of my friends from Connecticut. And then I have a band with Nick, who plays bass in Mind Force, which is a little more hip-hop oriented, called Don't Trust the Soul. And I have a death metal band with Mike that we're never going to finish.
Yo, when are you going to finish that? I want to hear that.
Mike's supposed to sing, but he doesn't.
I dropped the ball on it. I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
Well, you just drank that coffee, and this is not a super long episode, so you might have time tonight.
That I would have time tonight to do it.
But Mike's you're doing a punk band right now, Mike, or you don't want to talk about it?
No, yeah, we could talk. I've just nothing.
So punk, no one's allowed to know what's going on, man.
No.
What we do is secret, you know?
Yeah.
It's right now we're just started recording some demos. It's not quite as official as Jay's side bands. Jay's better at recording something in one day, making a name, and
they got logos. We're waiting for merch. Yeah. The CDs bumping around.
Yeah, but doing working on making some type of punk type band. Black Flag, Born Against, maybe a little Rollins band in there as well. We'll see. But and then
awesome. Who else is in it? Are you allowed to say?
Paul Sink from Who Sing. For Dissolve is singing.
Oh wow!
And this is for the type of music he likes. This is kind of the perfect band for him. So I'm excited to work with him on it.
Fuck yeah! Well, all right, yo, let's close it out, but I want one last question. Give me your funniest Alex Casey story.
I don't know, man. The one that you told me that I found out about at the wedding is incredible. Have you told that one on here?
No. Can we? I think we can tell it. Statute of limitations, right?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen him rip people's shirts off. Moshing is hilarious.
Tom.
Yeah.
The story I told was the incident in a local eatery. Tom, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to think of what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, okay. He reached out to you for some advice about it.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about that? Should we talk about that?
Nah, let's leave it alone. That's my little bro. Yeah.
That's a little, we'll leave that mystery.
I can give the clean version of it.
I think we're good. Alex,
I like the mystery. Let's just say that there were no humans or animals hurt in this incident. And
nobody was hurt.
And we'll leave all the other comments. Mike, it sounded like you might have had something.
No, I was actually going to go with the shirt ripping video that was going around. But
yeah, dude loves to rip a shirt. But yo, big shout out to Alex.
I seen a video recently of some dude ripping off somebody's shirt in the pit for a laid to rest set, but Alex did that shit first.
Yeah,
the OG shirt ripper.
Yeah, we call him Ray J in this shit. So yo, everybody who is in the sound of our voices, please check out Swinging Swords and Chopping Lords out soon, aka like this week. Triple B Records, get those orders in. Thank you guys all for coming on. This was a fun time.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time out.
Awesome.
That was fun, man. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas.